Hello, everyone. Before we start our usual episode, I want to mention our call to action at Crafton Hills College parking lot F on March 22nd from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. This is to give everyone on negotiations a visual of faculty support. We're encouraging everyone, faculty, students, friends, family, and members of the community to wear red and come to parking lot F to show their support. If you can, please RSVP through our website, sbccdta.org. This is just to give us an estimate for the amount of food to bring. Again, that's March 22nd from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Crafton Hills College, parking lot F. Hello, and welcome to another episode of SBCCDTA's podcast. This is the fourth episode of our podcast. I'm Brandi Bayless, and I'll be your host for today. I teach math at Crafton, and I'm one of the full-time union reps at Crafton Hills College. This podcast is a way for our members to listen to updates on their own time, whether they're freeway flying between classes or packing lunches for their kids. Our e-board has an ongoing goal to increase communication with our members. Currently, we have monthly luncheons at both campuses, monthly donuts, a blog, a website, regular emails, this podcast, and a brand new YouTube channel. But communication runs both ways, so we want to thank you for taking the time to tune in and hear some updates, but we also want to recruit some active voices from our faculty. If you've run into an issue that you feel the union should address, even if you're not sure, please send us an email or give us a call or just stop one of us in the halls. You can also stop by one of our union lunches on the third Wednesday here at Crafton Hills in LRC 226 or on the fourth Wednesday at Valley in the Sunroom. Both lunches are at noon. Donuts this month at Crafton will be moved to Friday, March 22nd in parking lot F for the call to action. We encourage you to RSVP through the website just so that we can get a head count for how much food to bring. This month's show includes updates on negotiations, updates on the call to action, the upcoming board meeting, Oracle, and our latest board member to visit our e-board, Dr. Stephanie Houston. So with no further ado, here are union updates with Meredith McLaren. Hi, everybody. I'm here with Meredith McLaren, and we're going to do another update from the union. Today, we want to talk about negotiations and the call to action and maybe some stuff on Oracle.
Yes, sounds good.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good. It's spring break, so it's very quiet here on campus.
Right, spring break, and we're working anyway.
Exactly. We're still here, and I haven't cleaned my desk off yet.
But okay. Yeah. Goals. So last Friday we did negotiations, and we just want to do a quick update on what we negotiated there.
Yep. So the main focus of the day was Oracle. We have been having some discussions with the district about what are the responsibilities for faculty in terms of using Oracle, learning how to use Oracle, some of the issues that faculty have had with getting reimbursed. And we spent a long time talking.
Sounds like an enthralling meeting.
Yes, yes. It was long. We did get a break for lunch in between, which helped. But we passed a proposal, and we got a counter, and then I think we repassed again. So we did end up with a signed MOU, basically outlining how this is going to work for faculty. It doesn't necessarily fix all of the problems. But we figured one step at a time. At least it gets the process started, and then if there continue to be issues with reimbursements, we can address those, you know, at the next level, at the next steps. So basically, Oracle is the new financial system that the district purchased, and as is not uncommon, the district did not do a lot of research or meet with the constituents before they purchased it, and so there have been a few of the processes which don't really follow in line with what we were currently doing, and they were impacting workload for faculty, and so we had to negotiate that to come to an agreement in terms of what faculty will do.
So we had previously told faculty just to not touch it for now.
Yes, and that's what we had said. We're like, until we get this figured out, you know, just kind of leave it alone if you can. So now faculty can touch it.
Yay!
They can use it. And we had them show us a few things. So basically with Oracle, you will log into the financial system. It's done through the district website. It uses your current login information, so there's no new login information that has to be used. And then what we are going to use is the process of delegating. So basically what you can do is you go into the system, you assign somebody who has the authority to do your financial transactions or your receipting and all of those kind of things. And in this case, it's usually a classified secretary who will have the authority to do all of that. So you'll delegate, and we'll put up some videos, I think, explaining and showing people how to do that. It is a quick process. I had them show me right there. It literally took just a couple of minutes.
Okay, so you, we're going to make some videos showing them what buttons to click, just for clarity.
I think so.
But it should only take a couple minutes, yep. And they would sign into Oracle using their normal sign-in, yes. Like how you get to Canvas or yep. Your email.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It's your username and your district campus password.
Okay.
It's the standard.
So then once they have a delegate, they would just send the paperwork to their division secretary like usual?
Yes. Whoever has been assigned as the delegate, and the process identifies that managers will tell faculty who the delegate is. So faculty don't have to guess. They don't have to go around asking everybody. Once they put in the request for reimbursement or the request to travel, the manager will tell them who the delegate for this process is.
Okay, so first you email, like, your dean, for example,
right.
And
so
say,
you,
I need this money for this traveling expense, right. And then the dean should respond and say, make this person a delegate.
Yes, so what, and it will continue to use the AC-9 and the AC-10 forms. So
okay.
When you fill out that AC-9, that is basically your communication with the dean, that this is, I want to go to this conference, or I'm needing this money. When you send that to your dean to let them know, that's when they should respond telling you, okay, this is the person who will be the delegate for this travel or for this conference. Now, you know, we encourage them to keep it to as few people as possible so that you only end up with one delegate, you know, mm-hmm. Potentially. You could send all your stuff to one delegate every time. But they did say there are some issues sometimes with budget because depending where the budget comes from, the delegate might be in a different area. So you could potentially end up with one or two delegates in your list, but the dean would tell you every time, this is your delegate for this
okay.
travel. This is
Perfect.
The delegate for this
so
travel.
So we'll never be guessing at who
you
we're
will not
signing.
Be guessing, right.
And there's no personal or classified information that the delegate shouldn't be able to access, right?
Right.
So
exactly.
We don't have to worry about them getting to anything else like our paychecks
nope.
or anything like
nope.
that.
No, it would literally just be the pass-through for this AC-9. So you would fill out the AC-9, and basically you'll be scanning the AC-9 and emailing it to the delegate.
Okay, which is part of the normal process right
it
now.
It is, and that's currently what we do. Currently, we physically take it up oftentimes and just give it to them sometimes. You know, so it makes it a little bit simpler. Even you can scan it, email it, and then same with the receipts and the AC-10.
Okay.
When you return, it would simply be a matter of filling those out, scanning them, emailing them to the delegate, and then the delegate will make sure that everything is complete, that everything is in the format that it needs to be. Any changes or additions, you know, that person would let the faculty member know. They'd get that all worked out. And once the packet was complete and everything was there, then the delegate will send it off through the system to the district for reimbursement.
Okay, so step one is AC-9, AC-10.
Mm-hmm.
Step two is wait for the dean to tell you who your delegate is.
Yes.
Step three is assign that delegate.
Yes. Technically,
okay.
The AC-10, I think, is after you return.
Okay.
I think so. It would just be the AC-9
okay.
for the first step. But yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And it, again, it should at least have, having a little bit of a structure, I think, will help to at least get this going. Again, things might come up. Things might happen. Once it's at accounts payable, we have put a 45-day window of time on to be reimbursed.
Okay.
And so what we can do is once we can see how long, you know, if it's taking us a week to get all of our stuff together, get it over, that gives them, you know, 30 days basically once it's at the district.
Mm-hmm. How would faculty know that it's at accounts payable?
At this point, it will be the manager's responsibility to inform the faculty that everything has been sent. So the manager or the delegate probably will inform the faculty that it is complete and has now been transmitted to accounts payable.
Okay.
You know, some of the issues and our concerns about what happens once it gets to accounts payable, you know, we didn't really get those addressed quite as strongly as we might have liked, but at least we get this started. And if it continues to be a problem and we know we've got this piece solid, then we can start to turn our focus on accounts payable.
Okay, and I don't want to belabor the point, but we've had some issue with faculty not knowing that something was wrong until way after they thought they were going to be paid. So how long should they expect to get that email back saying, hey, everything's been sent to accounts payable?
Right. We were estimating, in talking to the management side who was there, within a week or two.
Okay.
You should get, you know, some confirmation that it is all complete and has been sent.
So give them a fortnight to get back to you.
And then
after that, it's 45 days from there.
Because the getting back to you will come from your campus staff.
Okay.
And so that's usually a better communication system. There's still nothing in place if it should get to accounts payable and accounts payable find something missing. There's not that feedback loop. That feedback loop hasn't necessarily been created yet.
Okay.
So again, if it appears that we can get our stuff there, but there seems to be a holdup at the other end, then that will be another area for negotiations in the future.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. So that was Oracle. So it's good. It's going. And we'll continue to post more information for faculty just so they...
All right. So most negotiations was spent on just negotiating that MOU for Oracle and figuring out whose responsibility each step was.
Exactly. That was the majority. We did have a little bit at the end. We passed our wages proposal. We had had a counter from the district, which we were not going to accept. So we passed our counter for full-time and part-time wages. And so basically full-time, we gave them a counter which got everybody to median. So that information will be available on the website because all of our counters or all of our things we pass will be available so they can see. The district was not able to counter, obviously, back. That will come at the next negotiations meeting. So we did pass that. The part-time salary schedule, we decided to make it a percentage of the full-time salary schedule.
Okay.
Decided it was time to start having that conversation about having an hourly salary schedule for part-timers based on the full-time.
Okay, so there's a better relation, and just like full-timers would move up in pay as they got more experience.
Exactly, and there's steps
adjuncts should do the same.
Okay. Again, don't know. I mean, that's probably something that will take a little while, but we passed it. It's the beginning. We're starting that conversation.
Okay.
So that was there. We talked a little bit at the very end about communication about campus safety issues. You know, there was an incident, I guess, on the campus last week, which a lot of faculty felt like was not adequately communicated to everyone so that faculty were aware of what was going on. And it brought up, again, the need for maybe some training or from policy and process and procedure that is communicated to everyone about what happens if there is an incident on campus that is potentially dangerous.
How everybody finds out and how the decision is made to make like the text message or the phone call.
Is, right. Whose responsibility and what's the chain of command if something happens? Who do you contact? Who do they contact?
Okay.
Because it seems like that process is not working or is broken or doesn't exist. We're not entirely sure. So,
okay.
That was the other thing that we talked about at the very end. But those were the main. That was the main most of the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gives us a strong segue into the call to action.
Yes.
On Friday the 22nd.
Yes. So on March 22nd, we are going to be having the negotiations meeting on the Crofton Hills campus. And so we are arranging for faculty to come out and be a visual presence there to show the negotiating team, our negotiating team, the support of faculty, and as well the administration negotiation side of it, to show them also faculty support and our belief that we need to come to a better agreement, you know, in terms of our salaries.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the reason that we have this call to action is because what was passed at the last meeting.
Right. Their initial proposal to us was insulting. Basically, it was insulting. And so we need to show them that this is not something that faculty are going to stand for.
Mm-hmm. So what was it specifically?
So we proposed getting us to median, which again is, you know, with the stratifications and the places, but it was a percentage would get everybody to median. They came back with 1%.
Which would actually put us further away from median than we currently are.
Yes, because everybody else who we compare ourselves to, the comparison colleges, they've all gotten raises. And so by only doing 1%, we actually fall backwards.
Right, which is bad for full-time faculty, but the adjuncts, raise that they passed was worse.
Originally, it was nothing. Their first proposal was to give nothing to part-timers, no increase whatsoever. Another proposal, put a dollar an hour more in, which is, it's a starting point.
Yes.
But in that dollar an hour, they wanted to include all office hours, all SLO work.
Which would have been a pay cut.
Which is a pay cut.
Yeah.
Is a pay cut. It
okay.
was significantly less.
So the first offer was nothing, and the second offer was a pay cut.
Was a pay cut.
Okay.
Was a pay cut.
And so, that would be why we're doing this call to action, just
exactly.
to reinforce the idea to the administration negotiations team that, that the faculty is paying attention to what they pass.
Exactly. And we know, and we are not okay with it, and we would like them to do better, basically. And we are inviting all faculty from Valley and Crafton.
Right.
Our goal is to have a meeting at Valley in the future, a negotiations meeting where we could do a call to action on the Valley campus, but we wanted to make sure that it was open to everybody who wants to come since negotiations.
So that students, that's faculty from
yes.
both campuses, bring your family.
Yep.
The only thing we're asking is if you go to our website, it's just to RSVP so that, because we're supplying coffee and donuts,
yes.
we want to make sure that we don't have 2 dozen donuts for 100 people.
Exactly. Exactly. Although if we have some donuts left over, I suppose that would be okay too. But we would
yeah.
prefer to err on the side of more donuts
yeah.
than less. Yeah, so we'll have coffee and water. And if people stay and it looks like it's going to become, you know, an all morning thing, we are totally okay with ordering pizzas, having pizzas delivered to the campus to keep people's, you know, spirits and their blood sugar.
Okay.
So.
Sounds great.
Yes. And then, let's see, what else? Oh, another thing that we did have is the e-board invited Stephanie Houston, our newest board member.
Newly
elected board member, to come to our executive board meeting last Friday, Friday before. It was the first
yes.
Friday in March. I'm not sure where we are at this point. And that was actually a very good conversation. I am really, really liking this, inviting the board members to these e-board meetings. It's a great opportunity to have discussion. Got to hear a lot about her, who she is as a person, as a mom,
yeah.
as a...
When she was done giving her background, there was nobody better suited to be on the board.
Exactly, exactly. Her experience and just her, you know, her. She was a Crafton student, you know, as well as her children came between Crafton and Valley. I think that she said all of them came at some point to the community colleges. Just her experience with education. It was just very, very insightful, and I thought it was a great opportunity. She was very frank. She was very honest. It was good conversation. I really felt both ways. So.
Yeah. It's nice to get her feedback. It was nice mm-hmm. to be able to have the opportunity to give feedback.
Yes.
I agree. It was a very nice conversation to have.
And like I said, I think she found it beneficial, and I think it definitely appears to be something that she, as well as Joseph, are interesting in continuing to having these opportunities for these just casual conversation over lunch.
Yeah.
It was very good.
So. Do you know who we might be inviting next?
You know, I am not sure who's on the list. We probably send that an email to the board, our exec board, and see who might be interested in, or if Joseph or Stephanie is wanting to come back. You know, we are certainly open to doing that as well.
Okay,
so,
perfect. So the last thing would be the board meeting that's happening over spring break.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Thank you. I forgot about that one. The board meeting is set for this Thursday. And again, we wanted to make sure the board is also aware of faculty support of negotiations. We wanted to take that opportunity to encourage the board to really, you know, think carefully about the salary and wages and increases. So Leonard Lopez sent out an email. He created basically a statement that faculty could lend their support to, and that will be presented at the board meeting. We had a couple faculty ask if it's okay if they come. By all means, faculty are always encouraged to come to a board meeting. If you wanted to come, wear a red shirt, you know, be there to show your support. If we get, you know, quite a few faculty, we can order pizza for there too. But we didn't want to do too much simply because it is spring break.
Yeah, we realize that a lot of our faculty will be gone
right,
for that
and a lot of
meeting.
Faculty are gone, or it's spring break. If faculty don't want to think about the college and their work for 1 week, we completely support that as well.
All right.
If faculty want to come, by all means, they're encouraged. I will be at the board meeting.
And just the time and location for that?
So it is Thursday at 5:00 at the district office.
And do faculty need any kind of parking pass or?
Nope. Everything, you just come park. Your permit to park on campus works for parking at the district, although I don't believe they ticket in the evening for those board meetings.
Because they're open to the public.
They're open to the public.
So and then you go out to the main building, and then the board meeting is to the left, right?
Yeah, it's in the big.
There's not really any signage out in front.
No,
so just keep trying doors
keep
until you find
doors,
a crowd of people.
Yes, and it'll be the big room with all of the microphones in the front. That will be. And then there's seats in the back that you can sit. There is public time for public comment, which if faculty are interested and want to speak, they can certainly pull a public comment slip. But at this point, we don't have any organized speaking campaign for this board meeting. It simply will be that statement.
But if you read the offer and you were really affronted by it, then this would be your opportunity to speak publicly to the board and say, hey, this meant a lot to me personally that they were willing to pass this. It hurts my confidence as a faculty member.
Right. And that we want to remind them that both the district, you know, and the faculty were in agreement about working towards getting faculty to median salary. And we would like them to continue to support that intention from last year. So that's what we're doing.
Okay. So, I mean, it's a pretty short list because we just had negotiations. But so it was talking about Oracle. We have our call to action on March 22nd, parking lot F at Crafton Hills College from 9 to 11.
Yes.
And then the board meeting would be this coming Thursday, March 14th, Pi Day.
I believe it is the 14th.
That is Pi Day.
Oh, that's right. Well, maybe we'll bring some pie to the board meeting.
And that would be, you said 5 p.m.?
Yes. It technically starts at 4, open session, and they do the pledge, and then they go to closed session. So the majority of the stuff comes at 5.
Okay, so, so Pledge of Allegiance happens at 4, but then they go into a private room, and there's nothing to hear or do until 5.
Exactly, okay. So 5 o'clock. So I typically don't show up until a little before 5 o'clock.
Okay.
For that.
Thank you again for your time and for all the updates.
Thanks, Brandy, for doing this.
Hi, me again, Brandy, here to thank you for listening and to remind you to hit that subscribe button so that you can stay up to date with your local union.